This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFK. If you're not already a member, consider joining with us and keep free speech alive.
I don't want to rule the world, but my guest today, Fred Karger, just might. Fred who? You'll find out in a second. Welcome to the Bradcast. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, once again drafted into duty here to be the broadcast media. I'm the guy from bradblog.com. Glad you could join us this afternoon on Pacifica Radio's KPFK, 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, and 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe on kpfk.org. Fred Karger is a political consultant, a gay rights activist, and now a candidate for the Republican nomination for the 2012 presidential election. So you haven't heard of him? I didn't think so. He's been using Fred Who on his campaign's promotional materials, and the cable news networks, so far at least, have kept him out of their televised GOP presidential debates. Nonetheless, Karger has worked on 9 presidential campaigns and has served as a senior consultant to the campaigns of Presidents Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Gerald Ford. He's worked as an activist on gay rights causes at Californians Against Hate to investigate the LDS, the Mormon Church, and the National Organization for Marriage's campaigns to repeal California's same-sex marriage law. His run for the GOP nomination for president makes him the first openly gay presidential candidate from a major political party in American history. But that's not why I wanted to sit down with Fred Karger, as I did recently when I had the chance to interview him here in Los Angeles. What got you in this door, Mr. Karger, is that you have struck on something that is very near and dear to my heart. You have filed charges, like official complaint in Massachusetts against Mitt Romney, the front runner for the Republican nomination at this time, for voter fraud. Really?
Yeah, really.
What did he commit voter fraud?
Well, I've asked the Secretary of the Commonwealth, which mm-hmm. governs our election division in Massachusetts, to look into it, because there were all these things, contradictory statements he was making over the last 18 months. The one that really kind of set off a little light bulb in my head was that he said he was going to re-register to vote at his son's house. He was allegedly living in New Hampshire then, in order to vote for Scott Brown. Well, you can't re-register at your son's house to vote in an election, particularly a federal election.
So the implication being he was the governor of Massachusetts, but then he leaves, registers somewhere else, or we don't know if he registered at all when he bought a house then in a mansion out here in California, another one up in New Hampshire, and then he says, I'm going to re-register.
That was the quote. That's what kind of set off. You know, I used to do a lot of opposition research in my 30-plus years as a political consultant.
Right.
And so, you know, while I'm now a candidate, it's still hard to take off that hat.
Right.
And, you know, he's the front runner, so I watch him like a good op research guy would. There are just a lot of unanswered questions, and he was moving to New Hampshire. And I thought, oh, that's really smart. You know, it's the first state. He bought a home up there. That's a good move. He can be a native son.
Right.
Well, it turns out, you know, 6 weeks later, after they had indicated he had moved to New Hampshire to this, you know, $12 million compound. It's a magnificent estate on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Right.
Very fancy place. You know, then they denied it. Oh, no, he didn't move. Well, he'd had residency problems when he ran for governor because he was running the Olympics in Utah. And I think he pulled a cute one to save a lot of property tax. And for a guy who's worth $500 million, you know, their estimates are. that he wanted to save money on income tax. You know, it's a lot less in Utah than Taxachusetts.
Okay.
In deciding to run for governor in 2002, after the Olympics were Winter Olympics were over, there he hadn't looked at the law, apparently. There's a seven-year residency requirement in Massachusetts. So he said, I never really left. Well, he did. And, you know, here's this guy who brags about his great business acumen, who's going to turn around our country. Well, he didn't even know he'd re-registered his residency to Utah. He said, blamed it on the state. He blamed it on, you know, clerical error. He didn't even know. He didn't know where he was paying his state income tax, which I don't believe.
Right.
And so I looked into that, and they let him. The Republican governor at the time formed a commission, a 3-2 Republican dominated commission, and they let it slide if he paid his back taxes.
This was a special commission that was formed to determine whether he was eligible to be on the ballot back in 2002.
Yes, and it was a stacked deck, and, you know, yeah, oh, they let him do it if he paid his back taxes.
Isn't there a standing committee? Isn't there a Massachusetts election commission or the Secretary of State out there who would normally make these decisions concerning the eligibility for a candidate on the ballot?
Well, I don't know exactly how they work. The governor at the time put the commission together, from what I understand. But, yeah, it was very controversial, but they let it slide. Well, I'm not letting this guy slide.
Please don't, because, okay, that was 2002. They let that one slide. Meantime, he comes out. He becomes the governor of Massachusetts. Was it one term or two terms?
Just one term.
One term. Then he buys, I think it was a $12.5 million estate out here in California. I think it's $10 million. I think, Rachel, when you were on with Rachel Maddow the other night, she called it a cabin, fishing vacation cabin up in New Hampshire, Lake Winnipesaukee, and he is then registers to vote in his son's basement, his son's half-finished basement. Now, the law is very clear in Massachusetts, and Fred, if you don't know this, I happen to cover election issues quite carefully, from election fraud on electronic voting machines to phony claims about voter fraud, which is what we hear most of the time from Republicans. We'll talk about that in a second. But Massachusetts is very clear. The state defines residency as, quote, where a person dwells and which is the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. That's very clear. Where he dwells and which is the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. And it seems to me that it was very clear that Mitt Romney does not have the center of his domestic, social, and civil life in his son's basement in Massachusetts. And you actually talked to people in this town, Belmont, Massachusetts, where he used to live, where his son still lives.
He finally bought a cheesy townhome there just so he'd have an address.
Oh, he bought a new home in Belmont?
Last July.
Now, last July, was that before or after he voted for Scott Brown in that election last year?
After. 6 months after. I think his campaign consultant said, Mitt, you cannot continue to be registered in your son's basement when you're running for president of the United States. So they bought an attached townhome for $895,000, a little different than their, $10, $12 million estates in California and New Hampshire. So it's up front. It's just so he has an address in Belmont.
And you talk to people in Belmont. You talk to the local community. What did they say when you said, hey, anybody seen Mitt around here lately?
Well, I actually hadn't even planned on that, but yeah. I have a research director on my campaign. While he was at the town clerk's office, right, getting a lot. We have all the registration records, everything, his son's, his mm-hmm. wife's, everything, including the letter he sent to re-register at his son's house, basement, apartment. Well, I went in just to get a lobster roll in the local fish market, and I saw a picture of a soldier with President Obama, so it was a good way to strike up a conversation with the owner, and, it was his nephew, and I said, well, you've got a presidential candidate in this town. He said, who? And I said, Governor Romney. Goes, oh, no. He moved away a couple years ago. He moved to California. He flew the coop. So that kind of reinforced. I said, how do you know that? He goes, oh, his wife used to come in here all the time.
But doesn't anymore. Because they live in California or New Hampshire or Utah. Now, the fine for fraudulent voter registration in Massachusetts is $10,000 and up to 5 years in jail. Now, notoriously, Ann Coulter, for example, She committed voter fraud in the state of Florida. And this is a fact. Felony fact. She put in, knowingly put the wrong address on her registration form in Palm Beach County, Florida, and then she knowingly voted at the wrong precinct. So we actually have several counts. We've got two felony counts and a misdemeanor count. But her FBI boyfriend actually got her off the hook, and then she eventually ran out the clock. All the documents, if anybody wants to know, bradblog.com/coulterfraud. You can see all of her lies. Then she did it again in Connecticut, where she was voting at her parents' house, even though she lived in her own million-dollar townhouse in Manhattan. She was able to get off the hook there because in Connecticut, they said, well, if she still has family there, so that's sort of kind of maybe she was okay to be registered there and vote there year after year. But Massachusetts is different. They are very specific, and they say to be a resident, it must be the place where you dwell, the center of your domestic, social, and civil life. That was not the case with Mitt Romney. Fred Carger joins me here in studio after filing his complaint against his fellow Republican candidate, Mitt Romney, for voter fraud because Fred says that Mitt bought a house in California, in New Hampshire, and is now registered or was registered in his son's basement in Massachusetts in violation of the Massachusetts law, which is pretty clear that that basement was not the center of his domestic, social, and civil life. So that smells like voter fraud to me. What has the state of Massachusetts told you, Fred Carger, in regard to your complaint?
Well, I still haven't heard back from them. I was in New Hampshire. I held a press conference on the day of the Republican debate, and I just sent the complaints out to the state officials then, so I've not heard back.
I know that some folks in the media have asked, some Massachusetts official, I'm not sure which one, was said the time to bring this up was when he voted.
Well, yeah, so that's about the craziest response I've ever heard, next to the town clerk's response, which is even more ludicrous. But, yeah.
What did the town clerk say?
Well, the town clerk in Belmont, which is, you know, you got to picture this situation. I've been there. It's the Mormon temple, the only Mormon temple in the entire New England area is in Belmont.
Right.
It's a very well-populated Mormon community. As, you know, we see a lot of faiths that live close to their house of worship. Well, the temple, which is sacred, there are a lot of Mormons in this town. So, you know, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty convinced that, you know, within the town clerk's office, there are a lot of people. It's certainly a small town. There are his friends. His son lives there. They live there for 20 years. They're still there, or 30 years, actually. So, you know, I'm sure they don't want to hurt their friend. Well, the town clerk said he's got such a great voting record, even since he moved to his son's basement, that, you know, that's good, and that sets a wonderful example for everyone else. So, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you vote, even if you vote and commit and break the law, well, if you vote a lot.
Yeah, the town clerk was saying, this is great. We need more voters like Mitt Romney because they vote a lot, no matter whether they live here or not, is apparently what he seemed to be saying.
He tried to, you know, I don't want the guy to go to prison for 5 years or pay a $10,000 fine. Mitt Romney.
Why not?
Because I think it's, I mean, I don't think this is that big of an offense. It might have been an error. He thought he was going to be cute to
realize
save some
Democrats
money.
Have been sent to jail for much less.
Well, I don't want him to go to jail. Something like this that's not clear. I don't know. I mean, I just want to find out the truth. Because he's not been truthful so many times, and it points to his character and integrity. Let's just have him come clean. Let's explain this. Was he living there? You know, does he have receipts from his car insurance and his renter's insurance?
He should be able to show that he paid a bill there for something.
Yeah,
let's just
see that. If that's not the case, you know, then I will accept it. But certainly the fact that the state won't even look into it is ridiculous.
In fact, apparently someone at the state told the Rachel Maddow that, quote, there will be no investigation.
The scriptures say that if you ask in faith, if you ask God himself, he'll know. But you must ask him without any doubt, and let your spirit grow. You'll know it's all true. You'll just feel it. You'll be a Mormon.
There you go. Special. You can let it play out there. Tell a little special tune for our friend Mitt Romney out there. Alleged vote fraudster Mitt Romney. There you go. He believes. Nothing against Mormons, but I got to tell you, or Mormon Republicans, but between Mitt Romney and John Huntsman, he too has a problem, a voter fraud problem, having been registered at the governor's mansion and voting, even though he lived in China. Not kidding, as the U.S. ambassador. I'm speaking with Fred Karger. He is himself a Republican presidential candidate for 2012. You can get more information at his website, fredkarger.com. He has filed a voter fraud complaint against Mitt Romney, and it looks to me, Fred, like you got a pretty good case. I don't think he was living there in Massachusetts, and I hope, if Massachusetts won't hold him accountable, please go to the U.S. Attorney's Office and file a complaint there. Because the U.S. Attorney's Office under Bush threw a lot of people in jail for what seems to me to be a lot less. We were talking during the break, Fred, about this guy, this Pakistani guy who had lived here for 10 years, married to an American wife, had an American kid, was handed a registration form. He never voted. Was handed a registration form at the DMV, and he was deported by the Bush regime, by the Bush Department of Justice. Another woman, Kimberly Prude, up in Wisconsin. She was a felon about 4 or 5 years prior to the 2004 election. I'll toss in the fact that she happens to be African-American. Doesn't matter, but maybe it does matter. So 4 or 5 years before the 2004 election, she wrote a bad check. She never went to jail. But it made her a felon. She didn't know that she was not allowed to vote. So 2004 came around. She was a poll worker. She volunteered to work the polls. So she cast her vote early, absentee, and then found out, oh, as a felon, you're not allowed to vote. What did she do? She called and said, hey, can I get my vote back? Because I didn't know I wasn't allowed to vote. She was thrown in jail for more than a year, Fred Karger. So your complaint against Mitt Romney, I thank you for. But I think, while it's amusing, I actually think it's damned serious, these issues, particularly if they're going to throw people in jail for this. How do you respond to that when you hear a story like that, when you see the way the Republicans are passing these voter suppression laws, these photo ID scam laws? Do you support your party, Fred Karger, when you see them passing these kind of disenfranchising laws and throwing people in jail for these minor offenses?
No, you know, I'm a big advocate of voting. I've spent my entire adult life working in politics. I've proposed up at Dartmouth in the Rockefeller Center in January a 28th Amendment to the Constitution to grant more rights instead of taking them away like Bush tried to, and that is lowering the voting age to either 16 or 17, empowering these kids, trying to keep them interested in high school, teaching politics real time, expanding the voting rolls. It'd be 20 million additional voters if we allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote.
But, Fred, they're not expanding the voter rolls. They're throwing people off the voter rolls. You know, in state after state now, up there, Scott Walker's at Wisconsin. They just passed a photo ID law. They're not going to let students who attend college in Wisconsin, even if they have a photo ID from their school, they're not going to let them use student ID. How can you justify these type of laws by your party? And this is your party. As progressive as you may say, you called yourself a progressive Republican, right? Like yes. Teddy Roosevelt, great head of the Progressive Party. But how can you be involved with a party that does this, that works to disenfranchise voters the way the Republican Party in 2011 is doing in advance of, hopefully, your 2012 race?
Well, I'll tell you, Brad, it's not my father's Republican Party, and not just on that issue, but on a wide array of social issues. It's moved so far right. I'm actually what my real description of myself is an independent Republican. I'm independent from people like that. I want to give more voting rights. You know, I think it's
important. Will you condemn people like that? Will you condemn those sorts of laws?
Absolutely. I've spoken out against a similar bill in New Hampshire when that came up, and I heard about it. I was speaking out at the Hillsborough County Republican County Flag Day picnic, where Herman Cain and Tim Pawlenty and I were speaking, and that question came up about the voter ID bill, and it was an older group of Republicans at this thing, and I said, absolutely, I'm against it.
And this was New Hampshire?
In New Hampshire.
Okay.
And so I spoke out at Dartmouth against this bill, which would prohibit college students and active duty military from voting in New Hampshire, because they're not residents, they're not real New Hampshireites. And the author even said they vote the wrong way. Well, you can't do that. You don't like the way a class of people vote, so you disenfranchise them. No, I'm a huge advocate of voting rights and legal voting, and you must do it legally. And I think Mitt Romney has tried to pull a fast one to save some money. He registered out of his son's home. That is blatantly illegal. I am absolutely considering federal action. I consider that initially, but I thought that the state would do it. He voted in two federal elections.
Right.
We have the affidavits from the town clerk, Scott Brown, in December in the primary, and again in the runoff in January.
And I hope you do. I hope you bring federal charges here, because this is going on, Fred Karger, in state after state. Mm-hmm. Georgia, Indiana passed laws that are disenfranchising nuns, veterans, people stationed in the military. And they are out there lying about it. They are claiming that there is an epidemic of voter fraud, but from all I can see, the only people actually committing voter fraud, by and large, election fraud is a different problem with voting machines and everything else. But voter fraud, the only ones I see committing it are Mitt Romney, John Huntsman, Ann Coulter, Todd Akin, this guy who's Congressman Todd Akin, who's running for the U.S. Senate in Missouri. He has the same problem. He's been voting for like 7 years at a house at which he does not live. And there seems to be no accountability for this, even while they are robbing us of the right to vote across this nation in advance of 2012. And to me, this is not a right and left issue. I'll support anybody, you know, if they want to fight for our democracy. But we need people like you to stand up against the Republican Party. And I promise you, I'll give you a whole bunch more free airtime if you'll do it in state after state, Fred Karger.
I'm with you, Brad. Absolutely. No, I've been fighting for truth and transparency in campaign reporting. I filed complaints against the Mormon Church here in California, which led to their prosecution, an 18-month investigation, and a guilty plea on 13 counts of voter fraud. And also,
in that case, it was election fraud, because they were improperly putting money into the Proposition 8 campaign.
Yeah, you have to report the money that you're spending as an in-kind or non-monetary contribution. Well, they reported, you remember the Prop 8 campaign, it was a $40 million successful campaign on their side. The Mormon Church raised about $30 million from its members and spent an untold millions more, which they're allowed to do, but they have to report it.
I haven't heard Mitt Romney coming out and condemning these bills, these photo ID scams that are going on. As a matter of fact, I haven't heard any other Republican doing so. And don't you think that hurting Mitt Romney in some fashion is only going to lead to folks who are much, much worse than Mitt Romney when it comes to anything close to moderation on these issues? Knock out Mitt Romney and you end up with who? You know, Michelle Bachmann, crazy Newt Gingrich, take your pick.
Well, you know, John Huntsman is looking at it, who's a little more centrist. Here's a guy with great courage. He's also a member of the Mormon Church, but he is for civil unions for gay couples, which is unbelievable, because he announced that in February of 2009, right after, of course, I helped uncover the Mormon Church's involvement in Prop 8. So he stood up against his Mormon faith. You will never, ever see Mitt Romney do that. I'm the only full equality candidate running for President of the United States, and I'm also the first openly gay candidate running for President of the United States of either party. Barack Obama is evolving on marriage. Here's a guy who supported gay marriage in 1996 when he ran for the state Senate. He reversed his position when he ran for the U.S. Senate. I think he's the only person in America who's ever gone from a gay marriage supporter to a gay marriage opponent.
This is KPFK, and I'm Brad Friedman. In my last few minutes with Fred Karger, I asked him why the media has so far not allowed him to participate in televised debates. And given that his positions are now far to the left of today's Republican Party, but whose positions aren't, I asked Karger why he's still a Republican and about his positions on a few other issues like climate change and raising taxes.
Why were you not allowed in the debate in New Hampshire?
Well, they set up, CNN set up what they call objective criteria, and I think they backloaded it. And you have to do that legally. Okay. You have to treat everyone equally. It can't be subjective criteria. And, you know, in other words, I want you and you, but
right.
not you.
What's the objective
criteria?
Well,
it was 2% in three national polls, or 2% in the state poll. My problem is I had not been included in the polls. I'm now included in the polls, but, you know, I was at 1% along with John Huntsman, along with the Governor Romer of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So we're in the cellar, and you needed to be at 2%. Gary Johnson, former two-term governor right. of New Mexico, was also excluded. So they treated us all equally, but it's a catch-22. You need to be in a debate to go up in the polls, but you need to be high in the polls to get in the debate.
To get in the debate. It's a scam. CNN, have them on next time, for crying out loud. Oh, hey, have Fox News, fair and balanced. Have Fred Karger on in your next debate, please. Okay, why, with all of this, with your positions, which seem to be anything but Republican, at least what has become, you know, Republican orthodoxy now in this party, why the hell are you still a Republican, Fred Karger?
Well, you know, I am 61 years old. I started in politics when I was 6 years old.
And you look great, by the way. You don't look 61. All right. So
a rough 15 months on the presidential campaign trail.
Oh, it's only going to get worse after this interview. So why are you still Republican?
I'm trying to change the party. I grew up with Nelson Rockefeller. I used to take the train from suburban Chicago down to the Sheraton Hotel to do phone banks at 14. I'm what's termed a Rockefeller Republican. Here's a guy, you know. He was very, very socially moderate, and he was a caring person. He cared about people, and that's what the Republican Party that I grew up with was and should return to be. And I'm not for excluding anybody like they want to exclude me, but it needs to be the big tent.
What's your opinion on climate change?
Well, I'm looking into it. I think, you know, it's a problem out there. I love what California's done. I'm talking about that all over the country, the mandate here that we need wind and solar to deliver 30% of our electricity
by
2020.
Do you believe climate change is happening?
I do, yes.
Do you believe man is a cause of it?
I do.
And you believe that the government has a role in doing something about it?
I do, and the world should step up to the plate on this. We're in this on this planet. We need to take care of it.
Afghanistan and Iraq, how much longer do we need to stay there?
My line last summer after Obama announced a surge in Afghanistan was the only surge we should do is to surge out of there. I think we should get out of that nation building there and in Iraq instantly.
How do we cover our budget gap, budget deficit right now? Raise taxes or cut spending?
Well, I'm looking at that. I'm putting together an economic commission. I want to bring back the American spirit. And, you know, my biggest beef with Obama is that he's just been moping around. I thought this guy would kind of be Reagan-esque like Reagan was in 81 when he came in with that great spirit and optimism. That alone, a president can really affect the economy.
You're okay if they have to raise taxes?
On certain people, yes.
Okay. You just lost the Grover Norquist vote. Thank you, sir. Let's talk again soon.
I would love to. Thanks for having me.
That was my recent interview with Republican presidential candidate Fred Karger. You can learn more about him at fredkarger.com. After our interview, Fred mentioned that independents who might otherwise vote in the Democratic primary in New Hampshire can vote in the Republican primary this year, since there is no Democratic presidential primary. They could vote for Fred Karger and leave a little surprise there for Mitt Romney. I also suspect we'll have more in the weeks ahead on a federal complaint against Mitt Romney for voter fraud, as we had discussed during the interview, so stay tuned for that. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be back next week, same Brad time, same Brad channel. Until then, we'll see you at bradblog.com.